1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Is summer camp, is it bad for your kids? A lot of parents have their kids in summer camp. Vernon Dozier is a high school football coach. He is also a father. He is an educator. And you have been very vocal over the last several weeks, talking with parent groups and also getting a little media play, Mr. Dozier, on how destructive, and you say violently destructive, summer camps are. What do you mean by that?
Well, Phil, first of all, thank you for having me on your program. I think the people that own and run summer camps have a vendetta against parents because I don't think they've got children of their own. Summer camp is destructive, and the last thing we need is to be at odds with our children. I think that's the number one thing that happens. Parents and children immediately are at odds with each other after a kid comes home from camp, at least in my case. And I think a lot of these summer camps where they claim they're helping the kids spend a healthy summer, in fact, only serve to indoctrinate the kids into being more difficult at home. All they're doing at summer camp right now is making children much tougher to handle.
Really? I mean, so a kid comes home from summer camp. I haven't noticed. My own daughter has gone to summer camp. I don't know if she's more difficult or less. I mean, they're kids. They're difficult.
Well, I'd rather... they're kids. They're difficult. Okay, let's take what you just said and let's run with that. Okay, if they're kids and they're difficult, why make them more difficult? I'd rather they be at home watching television. And I have talked to parent group after parent group. I have talked to teachers groups after teachers groups. I have told them that the only way we're going to shut down summer camps once and for all is for all of us to join in. And I'm getting sick and tired of parents who have no guts and would rather send their kid off to a summer camp, and they don't care about any of us, me and other parents who suffer at the hands of these summer camps.
Tell me what is going on specifically in your home and what you think is happening.
Well, I don't, first of all, it's not a secret. If you want, I will articulate it, Phil, but it's not any secret. The children go off to these camps. They sit around campfires or what have you and learn these songs. And I'll give you an example of one that my daughter learned. And it may sound innocuous, but it's the kind of thing that when repeated a lot, especially when you're at home trying to do bills, you're at home trying to have a discussion with your wife, you're at home trying to get some work done, suddenly it's no longer an innocuous song, but it is something that is very dangerous in terms of its ability to distract you and to ultimately confuse you.
Now, you had an example of a song?
I have one here. We've written down several. These are summer camp songs. Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The steamboat went to Hello Operator. Right there, it's supposed to be the steamboat went to hell. But
the kids change it?
Well, the camp counselor changed it. The steamboat went to Hello Operator, get me number 9, and if you disconnect me, I'll cut off your behind the refrigerator. So it continues on. Now, this, when my daughter got home, and I'm talking about 2 summers ago, when I first had my medical problem. I had an emotional problem last year, and this year we've decided to be proactive, Phil. But this was a song she came back with. There's another one.
Well, before you go to what is happening when the kids come home from camp and they're singing these songs?
Well, they are very repetitive, and when the kids sing them over and over and over again, and you're trying to balance a checkbook, I can give you an example. My wife and I were doing bills, and this was last summer when I first had treatment over here at the Harsley Clinic. She came home with Miss Susie had a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell. It was going over and over again. We were overdrawn that summer by $2,000. 2 Visa cards weren't paid, and that's the direct result of the distracting song that my daughter learned at camp. So you can see, while summer camp looks benign and looks as if it's something that is not dangerous, every time a child comes home from summer camp with one of these songs, and I put that in quotes, all it does is irritate the parents, cause strife in the home, and the summer camps know that. And that's the key. They know it, they love it, and they keep doing it.
Why?
Why
would the summer camps teach children purposefully distracting, irritating songs?
Because these people don't have children of their own. Every summer camp is run by adults who couldn't have kids. And they resent that, and this is a tacit...
So in other words, this is a plot?
No, I stopped short of using the word plot. But it is, I think it's a psychological... I think it is just a symptom of a disease that if you don't have kids of your own and you want to have kids, you have a summer camp to try to bug parents that do.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's an educator and a father. He feels summer camp is destructive. The songs that they teach the kids around the campfire are repetitive, redundant, ultimately irritating, and cause emotional problems for the parents at home. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. All right, you mentioned one song that I wrote down, and I think we have it on tape.
That's the Steamboat song.
Yes, Miss Susie had a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell, Miss Susie went to heaven, the steamboat went to Hello Opera, and then it continued.
It continues on, and that's what I think is the most dangerous aspect, is because it's like a loop. The steamboat went to Hello Operator, and it goes on like that. Another song which they teach them at summer camp, which I think is about as sadistic and destructive as anything I've ever heard, has to do with promoting a commercial product, which is Bazooka Bubblegum.
Now, that's the one you faxed us. It says, my mom gave me a penny. She said, go get some. What is this?
My mom gave me a penny. She said, go get some money, but I don't want no money. Instead, I want some bubblegum, Bazooka Zooka bubblegum. It goes on and on like that.
And this is a song that...
This is a song my kid learned at camp. Now, what happens is the child comes home. They start singing these songs around the campfire. It irritates me to... Boy. And the other parents that I've talked to, too. Emotional problems. And then you wind up smacking a child that doesn't deserve it. You feel bad. The child feels bad, and yet you know she also did deserve it.
Are you hitting your daughter?
You know, Mr. Andrew, you put that like, are you hitting your daughter like I'm a bad...
Let me ask you, are you striking your daughter because...
Yes, sir, I have to when she starts in with, my mom gave me a nickel, she said go get a pickle, but I don't want no pickle, instead I want some bubble gum. Bazooka, zooka, bubble gum. And she keeps going on and on and on with it.
But are you smacking the child when she...
Yes, sir, I am. And she's my daughter, so I don't understand her.
Well, she's singing a song she learned at camp.
But it is an irritating song that they taught her at camp to try to drive me and other parents. Now, I've got $1,600 in overdraft at the bank, and you're saying... So, in other words, you're telling me don't spank her.
Well, I'm saying that the child isn't doing anything that she knows is wrong.
I have asked her not to sing the song. Okay, I'm overdrawn $1,600, three Visa cards didn't get paid, and I'm not supposed to smack her when she starts in with this. This is how homes are hurt, Mr. Henry. Now, I know the song, my mom gave me a penny, I told you about that one.
All right, I got the Miss Susie had a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell, and I got my mom gave me a nickel, she said go get a pickle. Is that...
These are two of the songs that they're teaching them at summer camp, yes, sir. Now, I have the other one, City Girls, They Wear... Oh, here it is. This is called Country Girls, and this one is particularly difficult because it's about women, and it keeps going on and on. It goes, country girls, they wear those big gold boots. City girls, they wear the same. Mountain girls go barefoot every time, but they get there just the same. Okay, now that's the song, and I smacked my daughter. I apologized to her. But I said, if I ever hear it again, I'm going to give you not only the front of my hand, but the back of my hand as well. Because the first time I just gave a full front hand slap. But if I hear that my mom gave me a penny, I'll give her a backhand too. And I'm sorry to say that.
I got to tell you, there's nothing in the world that would make me smack my kid because he or she was singing a song.
And I understand that yeah, good for you. Hey, there you go. You want the round of applause? Is that what it is?
No, sir, I didn't want the round of applause.
Well, because you're saying basically you're better than me. And
well, I am saying I'm better than you in that case. If the child is singing a song that is irritating to you, that is causing you to not balance your checkbook properly, then tell the child that...
No, I'm not going to tell the child anything. This is the fault of the summer camps that teach this garbage. And the other thing, I guess you won't like this either, I have put the parents of other children on notice. If they come to my home and I listen to them singing, my mom gave me a nickel, I'll go outside and I'll smack the kids too that are not my children. Because, man.
All right, so what we have is a man frustrated by the songs that a child learns at summer camp. He feels it's being done on purpose. to drive parents crazy when the kids get back from camp. He also, and the thing, you know, he can go nuts if all he wants, but he's also said that basically any of the kids' friends that come over, he'll smack them too. He has not been able to balance his checkbook properly. He has also been overdrawn, and he has also not paid a number of bills because every time he sat down to do the bills, his daughter started in on a couple of these songs. Now, this man, Mr. Dozier, has faxed over five different songs that he has sent to media all over Southern California and indeed the United States. One is Miss Susie Had a Steamboat. The other is My Mom Gave Me a Nickel. And there's a couple of others here that we can put up on the website. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. If your kid comes back from summer camp singing one of these songs, does it drive you to distraction? And should summer camps stop teaching kids these songs? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Mr. Vernon Dozier. He's an educator. His daughter comes home from summer camp singing songs that are so irritating. He's not been able to balance checkbooks, get anything done financially. Mr. Dozier, you're talking about the little song here. My mom gave me a nickel.
Well, can I just jump in for a second if I could, Phil?
Yeah.
The whole reason why I'm on your program is I don't like that song and I don't like others. And for you to sing them only makes it worse. And
I'm sorry, I wanted to give people...
Well, you can read the lyrics, which I've faxed out.
My mom gave me a nickel. She said go get a pickle, but I don't want no pickle. Instead, I want some bubble gum, bazooka, zooka, bubble gum. Is that one of the songs?
That is one of them. The other one is that Steamboat song, which I would love to just... If I met the camp counselor that wrote that, and you know they write them. The camp counselors write all of these. They get them all copywritten. They are all published with BMI before the camp starts. And then they come into camp armed with these songs that they're going to teach children.
All right. I'm going to ask you what you would like your daughter to do other than that.
I would like her to go. There's nothing wrong with her getting started. Next year is going to be a very pivotal year for my daughter. She'll be in the sixth grade. And I think beginning to work on her math and work on her history, which she was horrible in last year, I think that's a great thing. Also, she can meet other children on the internet. Just talking to kids in chat rooms is a great thing. Then sitting there like you ran into a brick wall when you're, you know, how a lot of these kids are born and they have a, you know, there's something wrong with them upstairs. And she sits around singing like one of these kids you see singing for money down on a street corner. My mom gave me a nickel. And all I want to do is smack her for the disappointment she's visited on me and her mother.
1-800-449. Does her mother not like it?
Whatever I think her mother thinks.
All right, let me go to Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann is on the line. Hi, go ahead, Ruth Ann. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just want to say that he's an adult. He should act like an adult, first of all. Secondly...
What are you talking? I am acting like an adult.
Let me finish.
I'm trying to keep control of my kid.
Secondly, camp songs have been around a lot longer than he has. They are a fleeting moment. I went to camp. I learned camp songs. That summer, after that, I didn't sing them anymore. They bring back memories to me as of a lot of fun. But you're spoiling that for your daughter. And secondly, thirdly, if you hit a child, I live in Florida. If you hit a child, any child, you'd be in jail so fast, it wouldn't matter what it was.
Oh, you're one of those. Oh, you're one of those people that butts in and tells me how to discipline my kid.
No. I'm not, sir.
These songs. Direct hate from the counselor to the parents.
No, I don't.
It is hatred flowing from the counselor to the parents.
Well, wait a minute. My mom gave me a nickel. She said go buy a pickle. Now, that's hatred?
Okay, listen to this. My mom gave me a nickel. She said go buy a pickle. So, in other words, I'm supposed to listen to that? Huh?
That's like the song, you know, 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
That you
Everybody
learned in camp? You learned that when you were a kid. 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Right. And it's
Holy Jesus.
Wait, Wait a minute. 100 bottles of beer, everybody knows. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can sing about 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
But it's an irritating song. I will agree with that.
So who pays for the emergency room? I was taken to the clinic in April. I heard that song so much I started to bleed from the nose. Who pays for that?
You're pathetic.
Oh, I'm pathetic. I'm the one going to the emergency room.
That's your problem. That's your problem. You can't learn to control things. That's your problem.
Why can't my daughter come home and make a cabin out of popsicle sticks like other children do instead of making my nose and ears bleed singing bazooka, zooka, bubblegum, bazooka, zooka, bubblegum?
I think that your daughter is going to grow up a lot quicker than you are.
Probably, yes.
Because you are acting like a child.
Thank you, Ruthann, for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. It's very difficult for me to imagine a girl smacking a kid because they sing a song. Trey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trey, go ahead.
Hey,
turn your radio down.
I just think it's a shame that you're blaming that you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
Well, who am I supposed to blame?
Well, I would think you need to look at yourself.
No, I'm doing the work. I go into my office at night, I try to balance the checkbook, and then I hear her singing about country girls going around the mountain and all this.
And how much did you mess your checkbook up, by $2,000?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
I mean, I could see it if you missed it by $10 or $20, but $1,600 or something else wrong.
Oh, really? And what are you intimating?
I'm just saying that you can't take care of your money, and you're wanting to blame it on your kids, what I'm saying.
Sir, why is it a kid's got to sing a stupid... What is that supposed to mean, Miss... Her steamboat went to Hello Operator?
Well, they're silly songs.
What does that mean?
It's camp. It's camp. It's kids' camp. I mean, I don't understand the songs
sir,
either.
You
know, my kids sing them, too.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
They don't mess my checkbook up by $2,000.
Do your kids sing these bubblegum deals, this bazooka gum deal?
I haven't heard those
songs.
All
right, sir, then I don't mean any disrespect, but then you got to shut the pie hole and listen to me because you don't know.
Don't tell anybody to shut their pie hole around here, okay?
You're the one who sounds like an idiot on here, not me.
How am I sounding like an idiot?
You're the one blaming you can't balance your checkbook on your kids.
I didn't say just because of their kids. I said because they're singing that bubblegum song.
Well, that's an easy way out. You need to look at yourself, I think. That's just my opinion.
Okay, there you go. Now you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Right. I am laughing at you.
Okay. That's fine.
Look, Mr. Dozier.
No, that's okay.
No, Mr. Dozier, we're not trying to...
No, you guys want to laugh at me. That's fine. But I'm the one who had to sit there... And with my head tilted back in the car with cotton stuffed up my nose, as my wife drove me to the emergency room, because my daughter is sitting there singing Bazooka Zooka Bubblegum and the whole G.D. Steamboat song, which I...
All right, Trey, I agree with you, sir, just for the record.
I agree, sir. Yes,
well, you're the one that's sounding like a child, just like the man said.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, I'm not kicking you and saying that they're not silly songs. I'm not saying that, but to blame that on your kid and that on the song, that's crazy.
All right, Trey,
that's crazy.
Thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Do summer camp songs sung by children drive us to distraction? Should they not be taught in the summer camps? Miss Susie Had a Steamboat, the Bubblegum Song, all these songs the kids learn around the campfire. Some parents think that they are distracting to the point of messing up checkbooks and even ruining marriages. Are the camp counselors, do they have it in for parents? Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking to educator Vernon Dozier. Are you in a cocktail lounge, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, because I can hear piano playing.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay.
And if you, I suppose, you know, I can hear the question kind of in your, why am I here? It's because I want to calm down after a pretty tough day of having to deal with this kind of stuff at my house.
Is your daughter still singing these songs?
Well, let me put it to you this way. The bingo, do you have the material that I faxed, Mr. Andre?
I got it right here. Now, let me ask you this question. What is the significance of the bingo song?
This is the song that I think, more than anything else, parents need to be aware of. There was a farmer who had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O. Now,
I'm familiar with it.
All right, now, you're supposed to drop the O off and then drop the G off, and this will go through your head daily. Now, I wrote that to Channel 2 and some of the other news media outlets that the bingo song, somebody's got to get rid of it, or there's going to be a homicide committed. Now, my daughter, who I love very much, started in with that, B-I-N-G-O, and I started to sing with her, and I blew it. Because you're supposed to go B-I...
I know, B-I-N-G, and then you clap, right?
Yeah, and I said O twice. So she looked at me, and I had to leave the house humiliated because I can't sing this G-D song from camp that I hate.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Phil, and hi, Mr. Dozier. My
yes,
name
sir.
Is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
And I am a mother of a 13-year-old, and for me... I'll tell you what, I rejoice when my child sings. I understand that sometimes some of the things they sing can be annoying, just like other things. But to hear a child's voice, the day that voice is gone is the day that, you know, will make you crazy. And also, I really...
Oh, I don't know what you mean, but I'm looking forward to my daughter going to college and actually beginning her life as a human. I mean, I'll miss her, but the sooner she starts taking life seriously, the better.
Well,
and I don't want to have my daughter growing up to be one of these junky whores, you know, with her hair smelling like bacon and her duffel bag full of dirty clothes, singing these stupid songs. It's not ladylike, and I won't have any daughter of mine growing up like that, I can assure you.
Mr. Dozier, I don't think any of us would wish for that for our children, but also at the same time, she's in sixth grade, and... There are, as you know, as a parent as well, you know that they go through certain stages. And my son at 13, although he's not allowed to listen to it in the house, you know, they're into this whole rap music. And I'll tell you what, even on television, some of the stuff you can see and hear with the rap stuff about nasty words I don't even want to say, I thank God that he's not singing that. I'd rather have him singing the Steamboat Song
well,
and the Pickles
and
Bubblegum.
It's interesting because I've listened to Ice-T, Public Enemy, certainly 50 Cent, and I would rather, and I don't mean any disrespect to you, Lisa, but I would rather hear about an African-American pimp beating women than hear one of these songs. And I,
oh, come on.
I swear to God.
Well, wait a minute. You're just saying that you want your daughter to grow up, and you rather hear...
I'd rather hear about black gangs gunning down police officers while they're drinking coffee.
Why is that, though?
You know, I don't know. I really don't. I've gone to my pastor. I've asked friends. I don't know.
With all due respect...
At B-I-N-G-O, I would rather hear Ice-T singing about the pusher in his neighborhood.
Okay, with all due respect, Mr. Dozier, I can't judge you. That's your opinion, and we're all entitled to that. But at the same time, for myself, I would rather, in not arguing with you, I'd rather have my child
yes,
singing
ma'am.
About pickles and bubblegum rather than the nasty stuff we see out on the street.
In my opinion,
I want to teach my child to respect authority, which is me as a parent and the police officers, although we may not agree with what they do all the time. And
well,
also,
right.
You know, I don't want my son out there killing people and drinking and,
All right, listen to this.
All
right, listen to this. Ham and eggs. I like mine fried nice and brown. I like mine fried upside down. Ham and eggs. Flip them. Ham and eggs. That's the most asinine. And my daughter was singing that all last week.
Okay,
and,
but
and instead
Jones,
of that, you
want to
hear you want to hear a song about cops getting killed and women being beaten.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
That do you really think, Mr. Dozier, though, that is, would you like your daughter walking into one of your best friend's homes or to your
Whatever.
Parents' house and singing about killings and disrespecting authority, or would you rather have her singing about ham and egg?
Well, if it's a toss-up between bingo and finding a dead whore in an alley, it's a toss-up. It really is.
In front of her family?
I think that's a little bit, and it's just my opinion, I think that's sick thinking.
All right, listen, Lisa, thank you very much for your call.
How dare you, Lisa?
I'm not.
How dare you judge me?
I'm not judging you. That's my opinion, and we're all entitled to our opinion.
Here's another one that she learned at camp, and it makes me amazing grace how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know the number of wire coat hangers I go through?
Wait a minute. That's not a campfire song.
What is it?
That's a spiritual. That's a church song.
Oh, bull crap. They sang that around a campfire, I thought.
You know, the other thing, Mr. Dozier, is that, you know, if you perhaps spend a little more time with your daughter and getting her to teach her, songs you would like her to learn rather than sitting in a bar.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Yo.
All right, thanks. You'd rather listen to a song about mayhem and murder and gangbanging than a song about ham and eggs, huh?
I said it was a toss-up.
Here is Mike. Mike, go ahead. Mike?
Yeah, yeah.
Go right ahead, sir.
Mr. Dozier, you say you're an educator. Who do you educate?
I'm a high school mathematics teacher. I also a varsity football coach.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't think I would want you teaching my child anything. I think your views are a little off there. I mean, camp isn't designed to bring stress upon the parents. It's to give the parents a break in the middle of the summer so, you know, just for the kids to go off and to be kids. I mean, they are children after all. They're not adults.
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
I said these children that we're sending to camp, they are children. They're not adults. We can't expect them to come home as adults. They're going to work school.
Mike, are you chewing on something right now?
No, he's fine. Your phone's breaking up a little bit, Mike.
Well, I'm traveling down the road. I'm a truck driver.
Okay. Yeah, your phone is breaking. But this is a very good point that you made, that these are just simple songs.
Simple songs, huh? Simple songs. The bus goes up and down, and the bus driver goes up and down. And meanwhile, I lay there at night in a cold sweat, in a malaria sweat, thinking about that. The bus driver goes up and down.
Have you considered some anger management classes, sir?
I think I'd like to look into it. Because my doctor said...
That might help, because, I mean, it seems to me like you're letting songs get to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, my doctor said that campfire songs should not bring out symptoms like that are malaria-like.
Yeah,
I have
exactly.
Fever and
you have fever and sweating when you hear a campfire song?
Yes, I do. And diarrhea.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think I'd like them either if I was going to break out in a fever and a sweat, but I think there's an underlying problem here. I don't think it's the song itself.
Well, there you go. But you agree that if you broke out in a fever and a sweat and had diarrhea, you wouldn't like campfire songs, correct?
Well, yeah.
All right.
There's an underlying thing here. I don't like rap music. I think rap music's trash. I mean, a lot of it.
Hold on for a minute. My daughter's calling. What do you want, honey?
Bingo was his name.
Shut up. See, she started in with that bingo bit. She starts with that, and then it's going to be 1-2. Whap, whap. Front and back.
There's where you need anger management, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're wanting to beat on your kid.
It's horrible.
You said over the air that your wife thinks whatever you tell her to think.
Of course. No woman. No woman goes against her husband.
You have a problem with authority. You want to be in control all the time. You sound like a control freak.
I'm told that no song should give you the runs.
But no family man, no good father or husband should be a total control freak. Other people have rights, too. Come on.
Well, you make sense, Mike, but that's probably because you're out there working hard, and I'm in here in my underwear trying to balance a checkbook.
Well, I
keep my checkbook balanced. I mean,
can you do that?
Thank the good Lord you have kids, okay? I've buried two of my sons.
Oh, sir, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Three sons, I've buried two of them.
No, it's not because one of them was singing camp songs, was it?
Oh.
Sir, it's not because one of your boys was singing camp songs, was it?
Oh, that's uncalled for.
No, I just...
That man buried two sons. Mike, we're very sorry for your loss.
You know, I mean, thank the good Lord you still got your children that you can be with them.
I'll tell you what, Mike, I envy you, because I'd love to bury a couple if I hear that.
All right, that's all I want to hear from this guy. He's
ridiculous.
He's a sick animal.
You are a sick man.
Sick animal. All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks. And let's go to this phone call. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
And bingo was his game, O.B.
You little bastard. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1 year ago.
We've always been angry about America, colonialism, America pushing its weight around, telling everybody what to do. And then we look at America, and we see them play baseball. You tell us what to do. You tell us how to pump your... Then we look at your guy. You play baseball.
We tell you what to do when you run flying into our building.
Be quiet for a bit. I'm going to tell you something.
Don't tell my guests to be quiet, or my callers, okay?
Just be quiet. Just shut up for a minute. I'm going to tell both of you something. If you wish to keep this bad will between Arab people and American people, keep playing this baseball, which is no game for a man.
Okay, but...
Shut up! Shut up, listen to me. Keep playing this baseball, which is no game for a man. Is
not a game for a man.
Shut up.
Don't tell her to shut up, okay?
Asking you to shut your mouth for just 1 minute. Baseball is not an international game. This game played only in America. And why must Americans be so stupid? Don't you all realize you want to heal, you must stop shoving America way down your throat.
We're not telling
you.
Shut up. If the
Why are you insisting to tell her to shut up?
You asked me to come on your program, correct?
Yes.
All right, then why don't you shut up?
You're telling my caller to shut up, and I don't like that.
If the only thing you knew about America was baseball, you would think America is full of loving but little girls.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But that is not all that you know about America. You know much more about America than baseball.
Yeah, you guys know a lot about it.
You guys, now you, what am I, a terrorist?
Well, you're talking like you're defending them. You're talking like you defend the act of terror if we keep playing baseball.
I'm trying to tell you. This is the way to be friends with Arab people. Get rid of this game, which reduces a man to a child. That takes a man and gelds him of his essential manhood. So that he's nothing more than a eunuch.
So why do we have to be friends with the Arab people? Why don't they be friends with us?
If we want to be friends with the Arab people, both of you shut up and listen to me.
If you tell me to shut up one more time.
All right, I'm telling her to shut up. Mandy?
Yes.
Shut up.
You shut up.
No, I'd like you to shut your mouth.
Why?
Don't tell
because
her to
I'm
shut
a woman?
Up.
If you don't want to go to 911, you know what to do.
Excuse me?
If you don't, did you like 911 or didn't you?
I did not like it.
Okay, then keep playing baseball, and if you don't play baseball, there will be no more.
All right, okay.
I mean,
look,
aren't there other things that would make the people...
Shut your mouth and...
You shut up! 1 year ago today on the Phil Henry Show, we call that bit, Shut Your Mouth. All right. Phil Henry Show here at number 1-800-449-8686, and our souvenir shop is open if you... By the way, that was me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier in that bit. Now, we got all kinds of souvenirs that will remind you of the various characters that we do in our show. That's right, I was doing the voice of that guy, and the people that called in were unpaid and unprompted, and, you know. Anyway, go to our souvenir shop. We got the Citizens Auxiliary Police Travel Mug. We got the Teds of Beverly Hills Bowling Shirt, the Teds of Beverly Hills Shot Glasses, and now new, the Teds of Beverly Hills Stainless Steel Coasters. These are awesome. They come in a little rack, and, you know, you don't want people putting drinks down on your coffee table. You get that. It looks ugly. Have a little civilization. Have some class. Put that drink on a coaster like a normal human being. and do it with the Ted's of Beverly Hills coaster. Also, our official T-shirt, Phil Hendry Show gear, Ted's, I should say Bobby Dooley, Western Estates gear holder. Our email address, phs at philhendryshow.com, phs at philhendryshow.com. Now, we're going to go to our email file here. And I'm, by the way, I'm playing this music because it was the CD that was in the CD player, and I just thought I'd pot it up again and keep playing it. This is cornball organ stuff. Some guy playing with his organ. Hello, Phil. You went off last week about fat bastards on the cruise ship. I was on a cruise ship, and I'm a fat bastard. Now order the GD shirts that you promised, the 4X Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt. You're the boss. You're strong. You're in charge. They can't tell you what to do. Or was it your idea not to sell anything larger than a double X? Jesus, regards to you and the staff, Small Bob, Alaska. Okay, Fatso, we've gotten enough of your emails. I'm going to try and get some 4Xs, all right? Jesus. This guy every month with your emails up there in Alaska, and man, they must grow them big up there. Because when it's cold, friend, the only thing is to sit down to a healthy heaping portion of moose. Or yak. Anyway, Bob, we're going to do what we can, man. I asked Deborah, I said, can we get some 4X? She said, what is a freaking circus coming to town? What do you need that for? I said, well, I got a couple of listeners in Alaska. She says, oh, that. So she got your emails too, Bob. Dear Phil, I am also on writeaprisoner.com. Please mention my ad. My name is Matt Fain, 815003. Awesome show. Well, if you go to writeaprisoner.com, look up Matt Fain. Matt's a good-looking guy. Nice guy. Looks like a great guy. He's holding a kitten. Wouldn't know that he butchered up a whole busload of retirees on their way to Laughlin. I don't know what he did. Honest to God, I have no idea. A lot of these people on Write a Prisoner don't tell you what their crime was. So please, by all means, check that out. Susan Smith's on there. She's our featured Write a Prisoner this month. Our featured prisoner. We have a featured prisoner this month, Susan Smith. That's it from our mailbag. If you go to writeaprisoner.com, you can scroll down to F and look for Matt. Coming up, we'll have more in the world of sports. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not yet gotten back to me on my request for an interview with Michael Pittman. Look, if I can't interview him, have the common courtesy to email me back, all right, Bucks? Because if I get you guys in my crosshairs, life ain't going to be pleasant at all. And what about that fat slob Simeon Rice? What am I going to hear from him? That cool drink of water, that big mouth. All of that coming up. By the way, Chris Webber's in trouble. Ralph Sampson ain't paying his child support. And the scum just keeps right on flowing down, oozing down the gutter there in pro sports. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd Bonafide with us from the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. I understand you're at Burning Man in Black Rock, Nevada, but you want to talk a little bit about seniors and RVs this year, right, Lloyd?
Phil, we're asking people in cars this Labor Day weekend to keep at least one car length away from all sides of any recreational vehicle. We did ask this last year, and frankly, the response was disappointing, and that's why we had some mishaps. But again, we are asking, the ASRVA is asking that there are safety measures for those of you in cars to take when you're near an RV. People ignored us, and they paid the consequences. And let me tell you something else, and I want to hit this as easy as I can, but you never, ever, and I speak just personally for me, don't ever tailgate me. I'm a Korean War veteran. And I think I paid a few dues.
They're a little loud there. Burning Man is a music festival?
Yeah, I'll try to move away. But
you were saying don't tailgate you?
I'm saying specifically don't ever, ever tailgate me because I am a Korean War veteran and I will go wild. And I go wild when people tailgate me. I go wild. And we don't want to see a repeat of that. So when you see an RV... And the slogan that we're using with the ASRVA is, when you see an RV, you honor me. You don't honor you, you don't honor me.
Well, all right, so RVs are just, you give them a wide berth. You're asking people to stay away from any RV that you see this Labor Day weekend.
Well, specifically the ones driven by seniors. It's simply a safety measure, Phil. A recreational vehicle is a 20,000-pound monster that we're muscling all over the road. We have to swing wide for turns.
I've seen people trying to turn RVs, but I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody having to keep a car-length distance.
Well, we don't see as well from the side of rearview mirrors, so we need a good 100 yards to make a lane change. And let me tell you something. You got a lot of idiots, and I mean they are idiots that don't know the rules on staying out of our way. And the message is, RV, honor me, because if you don't, you people in automobiles, and I say this to everyone who will be out on the roads in automobiles this Labor Day weekend, you stand to suffer serious injury, including paralysis or even loss of life.
Lloyd Bonafide with us from the ASRVA. Doesn't it also stand true for you and other RV owners to watch out?
I don't understand.
Well, doesn't it stand for you guys driving RVs to be careful of other cars?
Well, no, not really, because we have a much bigger vehicle, and if anybody in a car thinks they're going to win a battle with... I've got a Winnebago Chieftain, 20,000 pounds, which we took delivery on August 15th. And if you think you're going to win a battle with a Chieftain... let me tell you, Phil, I got some swamp land in Florida I'd like to sell you.
All right, I want to ask you a question here, Mr. Bonafide. By the way, what is Burning Man, the festival that you're at right now?
Well, it's something that only those of us who go to Burning Man understand, but it's a new age music, electronica music. There's it's a festival. It's a music festival. We have it Black Rock every year.
All right. I've got a clipping from a Twin Falls, Idaho newspaper.
I know the story very well.
Well, there was a mother in a Windstar minivan with two kids. And this was last year. She was attempting to pass you on a two-lane highway. You're Lloyd Bonafide of Alhambra, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
But I know this story, Phil.
Well, she claims you increased your speed to the point where she was running head-on into a truck coming the other way. So you wouldn't let her in, according to her, and she slammed on her brakes. The brakes locked. Her van sailed into the Snake River with two kids inside, and it was there were no injuries, but it was a frightening thing.
Well, let me interrupt you. Nothing you're saying has anything to do with me.
Well, she claims you sped up so as not to let her in.
Well, does she also tell you she was tailgating me? She doesn't say that, does she?
There's nothing here.
See, you'd never, ever tailgate me. I'll go medieval on you, and I mean that with the greatest of respect for people. Don't ever, ever tailgate me when I'm driving, especially when I'm driving an RV.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Got a lot going on over there. Lloyd Bonafide with the Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. The Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association is saying, once again, you say this year, if you're in a car, stay clear of any RV, because you guys are apparently not responsible for your own actions.
Well, of course we're responsible. When it comes to cars, you get clear of us. Because I can tell you, Mr. Henry, I fought for this country in Korea, and again, I can't emphasize enough, don't you ever, ever tailgate me.
All right, so this woman sailed into the Snake River, and she claims you sped up.
Well, look, I'm just saying, you saw what happened to her. Do any of your listeners really want to take a chance on that happening to them this year?
Yeah, but don't you believe that you should obey the rules of the road as well, is what I'm asking. People who are in RVs.
Mr. Henry, I want to tell you something. I was in the Korean War.
I mean, that's a simple yes or no answer.
No, I want to tell you something. When I was in the Korean War, we had R&R in Tokyo. It was 1952, and we had some money, and we went out to one of these geisha houses, and I don't want to be graphic, but I'll tell you the story. I got my pants off, and this Japanese gal got a look at it, and she started to giggle. And I still hear that giggle to this day, telling me that somehow I don't measure up. And
well, I don't want to hear about the...
But it's pertinent, sir.
All right.
And I still remember that Japanese gal giggling at it, and it says to me that I don't measure up. Well, I'll tell you what. We went out and priced the new Winnebago Chieftain, and I got a Chieftain, and Mr., I'm not small anymore. And maybe for the first time in my life, I feel like I've got something between my legs with horsepower, so... what are you asking me?
Don't you think you should observe the rules of the road?
I've earned the right to be on that road.
Well, so have other people by paying taxes.
But I paid taxes and fought for my country, so it looks like I got seniority.
You told me before the show that you drove right through a toll lane in Florida without paying, breaking the barrier arm. Is that right?
Well, let me tell you something about toll roads. They might as well stick a gun in your ribs and steal your money. I'm a veteran, and we're lobbying for the right not to pay tolls.
You ran right through a toll booth.
You know, you say it like, oh, you ran right through a toll booth. Nobody, and I'm going to tell you something, nobody drops a toll arm on me. I'll go right through it, and as I said, I'll get medieval on anybody's ass that says a Korean War veteran's got to pay his toll.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I wonder if your organization, what they would think if they heard you talking this way.
I think that all 144,000 of them would agree with me.
Let's go to Erica. Erica, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, what makes you think, sir, I respect elders, I was taught this, but just because you are a big vehicle doesn't mean that you rule the road.
Well, but have you ever driven an RV?
No.
All right, I'm a retired man on a...
That is irrelevant. Just follow the rules of the road.
What kind of car do you drive, ma'am?
A Jeep Grand Cherokee.
All right. Do you honestly believe that your Grand Cherokee is going to take me out?
It doesn't matter. What if I was driving around in a bulldozer? Can I run you off the road? I'm bigger than you. You can't take me
Well, first of all, a bulldozer top speed's around 35 miles an hour, so...
That is not my point.
Well, what...
If there was such a thing as a bulldozer that went as fast as you did,
yeah.
And if you happen to be tailgating
She's
me, then I can drop you off... Then I can kick you off the road?
You know,
I can put you in the lake.
Okay, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle. But we're not talking...
Well, wait a minute. She's talking about the lady that you almost ran... The woman who's trying to get around you.
I'm going to say it to you again. You never, ever tailgate me. Now, she was tailgating me. She tried to swing around me. Okay, I sped up a little bit.
You could have killed her. She was going head-on into another car.
You could have been in jail.
And she could have thread the needle, too.
What do you mean by thread the needle?
She could have gotten in... But instead, she did the right thing. She locked the brakes up and sent it sailing into the Snake River, which was her only option. And I think she took the right option.
She shouldn't have even had to make that option.
You know, young lady, the only reason why you're even driving today is because a lot of guys like me went to Korea, and we fought our asses off.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. We're talking about...
You'll never tailgate me. Never.
It doesn't matter.
We're not talking about tailgating. We're talking about safety on the road.
Exactly.
I believe in safety on the road. That's why I say to this young lady and others listening, when you see an RV, you just better keep clear. Keep about at least one car length, and we do prefer two car lengths.
Well, that is fine, but that doesn't mean you speed up because someone is trying to pass you. You need to get over that whole tailgating thing.
I never would have done that had I not looked in my rearview mirror and I said to my wife, sweet God in heaven, she's tailgating me. Look at her playing with her life and the lives of those kids.
What's the deal with tailgating? RVs are slow, especially on an upslope. And it's easy to get in behind one and sort of just patiently wait until a guy gets some horsepower going.
All right. But you don't... So let me ask you something, Mr. Hendry. Do you have your nose up someone's rear end?
Sir?
Do you have your nose up somebody's rear end?
No, I don't.
Well, that's what tailgating's like. You might as well stick your nose right up someone's crack. And I am not in favor of that at all, sir.
All right, Erica, thank you for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Lloyd Bonafide. He is a spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Basically, if you see an RV on the road, you stay one car length away from it on the sides and on the back. If you don't, in his words, you're going to lose that war. According to him, RVs are difficult enough to control without people. And he made this point over and over again, and I'm quoting him, he's a Korean War veteran, and you never, ever tailgate him. He almost killed a family last year in Twin Falls, Idaho, when The lady tried to get around him. He sped up. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? You're trying to get around them, and they speed up, and you got a truck coming head-on? You can kill somebody. She went right into the Snake River, and thank God nobody was hurt. And it must have been a part of the Snake River, which is a low elevation, because if you've ever seen Snake River, it's a canyon. It's like the Grand Canyon. I mean, it is a sheer drop of at least a couple of hundred feet. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Homosexuality.
Well, I think that's an incredibly bizarre statement to say that people at tailgate have a latent homosexuality.
Well, let me tell you what, Mr. Henry. I spent 3 years in the United States Navy at Korea, and we saw a lot of these fruits when we'd get off the...
And I really would rather this not turn into a discussion of homosexuals. You're talking about the organization you belong to, the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association.
That's great. And we're at Burning Man this year. There's about 120 vehicles at Burning Man.
All right. And Burning Man is some festival. But in any case, you're saying keep at least one car length away from all RVs.
Yes, sir. And again, don't tailgate me because you show your colors. In my opinion, as a latent homosexual.
I think that's bizarre.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, sir, but I will tell you this much. Somebody tailgates me, and they're going to get a face full of the mud of the Snake River like that, the one there that brought in that Windstar.
That brought in the Windstar, that mother.
Well, you can suit yourself.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is George. George, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Let me ask that gentleman on the other line. How do you feel about truck drivers that are on the road? Do you feel an equal or different from them or what?
The truckers.
Uh huh.
They better keep their distance.
Okay.
They had better keep their distance. A lot of those guys are hopped up on pep pills.
Okay, let me tell you something before you continue, and please don't interrupt.
Well,
because,
but you know what I'm talking about. I hopped up on the pep pills.
Okay.
You ever heard that song, 6 Days on the Road?
Yes, sir, I have.
All right.
Let me tell you this. Like you're saying you're a veteran, I'm a veteran of 26 years on the Florida highways, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I think that you and anybody else has to respect the laws of the DOT.
Well, sir,
do you know what a DOT is?
Department of Transportation.
Okay, sir, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
I don't
care
if you drive a motorcycle, an SUV, or an RV. You have to respect the laws.
I agree with you.
If I see you in the Florida highways, you better not tailgate me because I'm going to knock my brakes and you're going to eat dust.
You lock your brakes up, your jackknife, and then the next thing you know, you're a ball of flame.
No, sir, I know what I'm doing. I'm unlike you. You are an ignorant person because you don't respect the laws.
But what are you talking
DOT.
About? I respect
and I
the
hope
laws.
A policeman right now is listening to you so you can get arrested taking that toll in Florida.
Let me tell you about these cops. They're not going to give a ticket to me. I'm a retired Korean
veteran. That doesn't mean nothing. You deserve a ticket like anybody else that breaks the law, sir.
If you break the law,
you deserve a ticket.
Sir, I'm not
breaking... And you got to respect the laws of the highway, I do.
I agree with George, and especially truck drivers who are hauling the nation's freight. They're hauling the nation's clothing.
Oh, don't.
Exactly.
So what do you want me to start crying, a little teardrop?
No, you don't have to cry a teardrop.
I mean, the truckers, truckers are hauling 18 wheels worth of freight that you don't think you can see out of a side mirror. These guys have got to do all kinds of things.
You know, I've been listening to this boo-hoo song and dance about truck drivers. Let me tell you this much. I think the truckers are great guys, but if you come near me, you're going to have suddenly you won't be driving on a highway. You'll be out on dirt road going, how did I get here?
You're going to be right along me then. You're going to be along me or along any other truck driver if you go to the zone that you're not supposed to be there.
Hey.
We have more blind spots than you have with your RV. Did you know that?
Well, you know what? If you see the rear bumper of a Winnebago Chieftain and you want to give me a little nudge with the front of your car,
just like those fellas with the butt who have the butt fetish? Is that what you're saying?
No. Sir. What I'm telling you, that we have less view on our blind spots than you guys have with an RV. I know you have a blind spot, but we have five times more difficulty being able to see.
Well, there ain't nothing blind about me, brother. I see. I read you pretty clear.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 69 years of age.
Okay, you shouldn't even be driving, especially with your attitude.
Oh, really? See, now that's the kind of thing that pisses me off.
No, you shouldn't be driving. I look at it this way. Anybody over 65 years old ought to get checked 2 to 3 times a year.
If they
can't see or they can't handle the road, put them out. They're out of commission. That's it. You shouldn't drive.
Now I'm pissed off.
What are you pissed off about?
That whole crack about me being too old.
I didn't say you were too old.
He said you ought to be tested after a certain age for your motor skills. Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. This is Jack on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello. This is Jack.
Yes, sir.
From
go
Austin,
ahead.
Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I'm driving all the way up from Austin, Texas to Miami, Florida. And I think that everybody's being too kind to that guy. There's something mentally wrong with him.
Mentally wrong? Wait a second.
If you're 69 years old, first of all, you should be old enough not to be acting like a child on the highway.
I'm not acting like a child.
And just hold on a second, buddy. Just like the man that just called in, now he's going to run you off the road, and you're going to run him off the road. And what if somebody runs somebody just doing nothing off the road over games like this and kills a family? I mean, what's wrong with you? You can't make terroristic threats.
Have you ever heard of collateral damage? I'm sure you've heard of collateral damage.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And I'll tell you something else. 1952, I went to one of these geisha houses in Tokyo.
Yeah, you told me about that story. And I bet you're about 5'6" also, aren't you? You've got the short man's disease. Is that correct?
Short man disease? No, look at that.
Is that correct? How tall are you?
Yes, I am. I'm 5'7.5".
Okay, you got the short man's disease. You're short in the pleasing the women department, and you're like a lunatic out on the highway.
I mean,
you're gonna end up killing an innocent family.
You said a Japanese geisha girl laughed at you.
Nobody. I dropped my pants and she giggled. I got the Winnebago now, and let me tell you what, I'm not.
The guy's right. You need a mental hospital.
Why do you say that?
You're running people off the road because some Japanese geisha giggled at you in 1952.
When I dropped my pants, you don't think that's significant?
What are you going to do when you kill somebody innocent over this acting like a child? You're just out for attention. You're not even serious.
I'm not trying to kill anybody, but I'll tell you this much. At least I won't feel inadequate like that Japanese woman made me feel.
All right, hold on. Thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And you don't think you have an anger management problem? Tell my audience what you just told me. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide is on with me from the Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association.
Wait, what I just told you.
Go ahead. Tell my audience.
I said one of the most glorious moments in my life, other than my service to this country and the United States Navy, was 2 summers ago. My wife and I were on Interstate 80. We're going through Wyoming. And this turkey, who'd been tailgating me, finally swung around, and he tossed me a bone.
Now, when you say tossed you, when he flipped you the finger?
He gave me the finger, that's right. And I said, brother, you're in it now. And I reached over, and my wife had our cat, Pepper, in her lap. He is a Burmese, a black Burmese. I grabbed this cat. The guy, and here's the interesting part, this guy was in a convertible. And I threw the cat at him. And I will tell you...
Let's add cruelty to animals.
Mr. Henry, could I be allowed to finish?
No, but let's add cruelty to animals to what you've done.
I threw this cat, and that GD thing landed on this guy's head, and you... I'll tell you, you should have seen this guy swerving all over the road trying to pry that cat off of his face.
Cruelty to animals.
No, sir, because the cat was fine. The guy pulled off and he apologized. And he gave us the cat back.
I think that's an anger management problem.
Well, it might be, but I think it. Why did he apologize?
I don't know. Maybe he thought you were nuts. 1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I myself am an 18-year veteran of both the active and reserve United States Air Force.
God bless you.
And I, too, sir, am a combat veteran. I've served in Panama. I've served in the Gulf War. I've also served in Somalia. And I hope that the rest of the listeners to this show realize that you do not speak for the vast majority of the veterans of this country.
Whoa.
Sir, you and I and countless millions of other men and women in this country have served this country well for one thing and one thing only, and that's for the right of all of us to live in a society governed by laws. Those who drive recreational vehicles as well as automobiles have a responsibility to obey all the laws of this country, including traffic laws, and those that advocate the use of force, as you do, to deal with those
John, I want to ask a question.
Yes.
This guy grabbed a cat, threw it out a window.
You have to understand, Michael, a veteran, a combat veteran, and it's the instinct that a veteran has.
Sir, I understand that you're a combat veteran, as am I. Then the gentleman is correct.
That is
not normal behavior, sir.
What is?
Throwing a cat at a moving vehicle is not normal behavior.
Well, I fell back on combat training.
No, that's an anger management thing.
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, you ever heard of throwing a hand grenade or
a... Yeah, a hand grenade. You were in the Navy.
And we took training. And
sir,
the first I looked around for a weapon, and the only thing I could see was the cat.
Sir, as a combat veteran, you should understand as well, then, that you only react that way in a life-threatening situation.
This guy,
the gentleman driving by you, flipping you off, is not a life-threatening situation.
It was a hostile move. And
what do you mean you looked around for a weapon?
The only thing that I could see was the potentiality of what you would call a cat bomb or the animal life. And let me tell you what, this thing got all over his face, everything.
Sir, I really hope that the rest of the members of your organization do not behave and act on the roads as you're advocating. If they do, most of them will eventually either wind up in accidents that could either kill themselves or other people,
or will wind up
in a jail cell.
John, you
That's
were in the
not
Air Force.
Normal.
You were in the Air Force. You know how beautiful it looks to see a air-to-surface missile, the beauty of ordnance and weaponry functioning properly.
Sir,
it had to be there to see that cat flying through the air and then just sucking onto the guy's head.
Sir, 18 years of experience serving this country has also taught me that there is a time and a place for that kind of activity when lives are at stake in a situation of combat and war.
Right. So you
that is not normal.
So you would agree with throwing a cat if it was life-threatening? That's all I'm trying to...
Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Hendry,
sir,
I'm talking
no.
to another veteran.
There are other ways. That situation you've described is certainly not life-threatening.
What if it was life-threatening? Would you throw a cat?
If it's life-threatening, sir, you do whatever it takes to preserve life and limb. That was not a situation that required that kind of activity.
What if this guy would have swung around me, flipped me the boat, and then winked at me in a feminine manner, challenging my masculinity? Would that have constituted the use of a cat bomb or something?
No, sir, that would not have.
That's just a bunch of baiting that guys do to each other.
That
John,
would not
thank you.
Have.
Thank you, John. 1-800-449-8686. That man's a veteran, okay?
That's right. So he knows a lot about... Okay, hold on for a minute. All right, Phil, Saturday night we're going to be having the Burning Man, and they want me to set up my booth here. I've got... we pulled our awning out. We've set up a quick fix station for a lot of the people here.
You're at Burning Man?
Yes.
Now, where is that?
We're in Black Rock, Nevada, and you can come out to see... Freeway out here. Each year a theme is chosen for different works of art.
What is a quick fix station that you have right now?
Well, we are serving, we've got Bacardi and Coke, and you take a Tylenol 3, and let me tell you what, you'll see colors.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Caroline on the Phil Hendry Show. Caroline?
Yeah.
Hi, Caroline. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm a Burning Man.
That idiot just say Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol 3?
Who am I speaking with? This is Lloyd Bonafide, please. Hello?
Lloyd, my name is Caroline.
Yes,
and
did you just call me an idiot?
Yes, I did, sir.
Now pisses me off.
Right, well, let the lady talk.
I have been listening to you, sir, as quite a few people, so now it's my turn. You have given us all quite a giggle and have pissed us all off for quite some time. Sir, you have used and abused this radio show to get some sort of warped message out to your public, if you will.
You know, you sound like you could use a Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol.
Sir,
thing.
Is your position with this RV organization an elected position?
I was appointed a public relations spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Did you just get up from a nap, or?
Will you just let the woman finish?
All right.
So it is not an elected position.
No, ma'am, it is not.
Excuse me?
No, ma'am, it is not.
So who are you?
Set the pen up over there. Go ahead.
Who appointed you into this position?
Bob Meelman. That's spelled M-E-E-L-M-A-N. Bob Meelman.
Well, I don't need to know the names, but it's an appointed position, so you could be taken out of this position at any time.
That is correct, yes. I suppose if they were stupid, they would take me out of this position, but I'm getting the message out.
I don't have any idea why any organization that represents A, senior citizens, and B, senior citizens that drive would have
I know
representative of their organization.
I know what you're getting at. I threw the cat as a last resort.
I'm not talking about the cat, sir.
Caroline, did you party last night?
No, sir. I don't drink, sir.
Yeah, have you ever had a rum and coke?
All right, well, we stick to the point here, please. So, Caroline, you think that the guy...
She has no problem with me throwing the cat.
Do you have any problem?
Actually, sir, I have a big problem with you throwing the cat. I have a very big problem with the fact that you keep referring to the Korean War as if it's some sort of a badge to be worn, as you're the only person that went to Korea. I lost a lot of friends in Vietnam, and I could really... You know what, sir? I wish that you had stayed in Korea, because...
Stayed
Lord
in Korea?
Lord knows, we certainly don't need you here.
Are you kidding me? I fought for this country. I came back and started one of the most successful heating and plumbing businesses in the San Gabriel Valley. I had a daughter and a grandson. My wife and I retired 4 years ago. I sold the business to my son-in-law. I'm here at Burning Man. I've had 2 rum and cokes and 2 Tylenol 3s, and I feel great. And I'm sorry that I threw a cat at a man's head, but he tossed me a bone, and a man doesn't do that to a Korean War veteran. Nobody. And I mean, no, I don't care if it's Jesus Christ himself, you don't tailgate me. And I'll tell you something else, Caroline, that you may not like. I don't have my clothes on right now.
You know,
I guess he
thinks it's a big joke, huh?
One of the things you do at Burning Man.
This radio show has given you a large gift.
Have my clothes on because that's what we do at Burning Man. It's not sexual.
Well, you know, if I were anywhere near the lady, if I were anywhere near you, I would try as hard as I could to imitate that Korean woman because you are a joke, sir. You are an absolute joke.
I'll tell you this much.
You have taken advantage of this radio station, and you have really taken advantage of me as a new listener, and you have offended people in general.
Wait a minute. When I lost weight,
and let me ask you a question. You said that you threw the cat, you looked around for a weapon, and that cat, Pepper, was sitting on your wife's lap.
That is correct.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to pick your wife up and throw her through the window?
No, it wouldn't have. She weighs much more, and I happen to love my wife very deeply.
But you're a Korean War veteran. You're in shape.
You should be able
to pick up anything.
The cat has claws. It's more mobile.
when you use a cat in a defensive situation...
Sir, you are an absolute ass. And I hope that enough mental health people and enough people in law enforcement have listened to this conversation. And by the end of it, somebody will send some sort of a vehicle with a straitjacket to your location and take you away for a very, very long time. Because Lord knows, the general population of this planet does not need to be subjected to
My wife would not have fit out the window if you thought about that comment. You'd realize what a stupid comment it was. How do you throw a full-grown woman out of a...
Oh, come on. You're the guy that tossed a cat.
You are not listening, sir.
Well, I'm not going to throw my wife, the mother of my daughter, out a window just so she can do the splits on some guy's head.
Okay, I've heard about enough. The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association, huh?
What?
Is that the name of your organization?
What? Say it again.
The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association.
Do they have a contact number, sir?
I don't,
Yes, they do. The number is 213-251-318, no, excuse me, 213-251, what is the number? I forget what the number is. Can you put it up for me, anybody? No, I don't have it here.
Okay, well, you can go rot in hell because I gave you that number. Look, most guys don't complain when you throw a pussy at them, so...
Okay, that's all I wanted. That's fine. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Okay, thanks.
Did you get the joke, Caroline?
Oh, God. I looked around for a weapon and I saw my wife's cat. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous, one and only Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lloyd Bonafide, and I really don't exist. I'm a voice that is done by the host of the program, Phil Hendry, and here he is.
Thank you, Lloyd. And yes, I did do the voice of Lloyd Bonafide. I am Phil Hendry. Lloyd, what is Burning Man, by the way? Seriously.
Well, I don't know because I don't exist. I'm not there. And if you don't know, I don't know.
All right. You could have read, or I could have read.
You could have read and done my voice.
Right. Burning Man is, who cares? It's an annual experiment in temporary community.
Dedicated to radical self-expression and radical self-reliance.
Check out what is
Burning Man
on this website for more information. Read the other articles on this site and visit
other websites for a broader understanding of the Burning Man
event.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I even thought he was at my daughter's playground looking up her skirt. I would go take care of business.
Now, wait a second.
This guy's a freak, man.
Wait a minute.
You don't do things like that. Children.
Are
a pedophile.
How can you call me that? I'm trying to protect the kids from being a pedophile.
You're not protecting anything. You're the one looking up the skirt, not...
Well, how do you identify what color their underwear
is? The police, the teachers are trained. This gentleman that's a teacher in whatever grade he's in elementary school.
Third grade.
You know, I applaud the man. He got a college education, is teaching. He's going to make good.
Let me ask you something. What about these guys?
Maybe he wants to move up.
What about
maybe
these guys that
on the job?
What about these guys that play with trains?
That doesn't mean a damn thing.
The hell it doesn't. They're looking at them going in and out of the tunnel. That doesn't mean anything.
You know, only in your mind.
You are a freak. You know that?
Only in your mind.
If I even thought you were in my neighborhood taking notes on my own kids.
Let me ask you something.
If notes on my kids, especially their underwear of all things.
Well, wait a minute. All right.
I would take care of business.
Now, wait a minute.
I would probably get the other fathers together.
Wait a second.
And I would take care of business.
Now, wait a minute. Who's going to keep track of your daughter's panties if I don't? If you're the kind of guy that is going to be...
What do you mean?
There might not be anybody keeping track of my daughter's panties.
Well, how do you know whether somebody took them off or not?
Tell me. She's 9 years old, almost 10. She can probably tell me whether or not she's doing something like that. We have a pretty good relationship as far as communication goes. And if I even thought you were there taking notes, especially
Tori, what is your name, Ken?
My name's Ken, and my daughter's name's Tori.
I bought probably the finest pair of naval binoculars that you can buy.
Yeah, you are a freak.
You bought what?
I bought
You're a freak!
They're Navy issue binoculars.
So you can see what?
So in other words, I'm supposed to sit in the car across the street and be able to make out their panties from there. Is that what
both of you guys...
Okay, you're gonna get into trouble.
Somebody needs to call the police in this guy's town and have them do the book and look at the internet site.
Oh, see, now you
they
guys
need,
are...
They need...
You
this
guys,
guy needs to have the... Needs to be reported, not...
Wait, now, so
not
you're making me...
Not
you're
the
making,
teacher.
You're making me out to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
You got Navy
issue binoculars so you can see up their skirt.
So I can see what color the flowers are in the panties so I can make notes.
Tell you what, buddy. You come to my neighborhood, and I'll take care of business.
Oh, do you need somebody to do that work in your neighborhood? All right.
No, I think what he means is...
You come to my neighborhood and do that, and I will take care of business.
You won't make it
out of my neighborhood.
What do you mean you'll take care of business?
He's going to kick your ass.
Exactly.
Oh, so you've made me the bad guy simply because I want to look up some kid's dress.
You look up little girl skirts. You're ridiculous.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell joins me from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, we're talking about the Kobe Bryant case. You went through something similar back in 1985, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
And you told us before we went on the air you can relate to what Mr. Bryant's going through?
I can relate to it to a degree. I think that there are some areas that he's going through right now where actually it's maybe a little bit better for him. Than it is for me.
Can you tell me what happened and what happened to you? And you were on campus at a major university in the Southeast, correct?
That is correct.
And you don't want to tell us the name of the school?
I would rather not.
Tell us what happened.
Yes, sir. In 1985, I was attending a major university in the Southeast, and it was during a rush week that we were having for freshmen at the fraternity. We had a lot to drink.
And for people who are not familiar with Rush Week, what is that?
That's when we approach new freshmen to join the different fraternities.
On the campus?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're having a Rush Week for all the new incoming freshmen?
That is correct. And we had a party at our fraternity house. We'd had a lot to drink. And young people who drink too much, especially young men, got together with another male student. We had been drinking throughout the night. This is the only time that I've ever done it. I'm married and I have two children who I love very much. But I engaged in sex with the...
with this male student?
That is correct.
He was an incoming freshman?
Yes, sir.
And you're not gay?
No, sir, I'm not.
How much had you been drinking?
We had been doing... we've been doing some Jägermeister and beer bongs. And it was pretty irresponsible.
You were doing Jägermeister and you called them beer bongs?
Beer bong, yes, sir.
Okay.
The next day, the campus police are at the fraternity house.
So you were arrested for rape, is that correct?
That's correct. And I can tell you it's the loneliest feeling in the world. One of the things I can relate to, Mr. Bryant, you don't know where to turn.
Now, you were accused of raping this male student?
Yes, sir, I was. And I have never engaged in anything like this.
Were you guilty?
Yes, sir, I will say now, yes, I was guilty of it, yes.
Okay.
I felt very ashamed, and...
What happened? What, were you given prison?
I was spent 4 years at the Murfreesboro Correctional Institute.
And that's in Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
What was the crime?
It was for aggravated sexual battery.
Now, why have you called our show?
I wanted to say that I relate to Kobe and what he's going through. The thing that was disturbing me, and I said to my wife yesterday, how come he is getting a lot of media attention, and when I went through what I went through, I didn't get any. And here's what I think it is, and this is fairly tough for me to say, but I think it's because he's black.
I think you think Kobe Bryant is getting more attention in the rape case that he's involved in than you got in the rape case you were involved in because he's black?
Yes, I do. And I'm mindful of the fact that he is more famous than me. But, and this is a very big point, I was at that time, when I went to the school, I was a celebrity on campus. I was fairly well known. I had been a Yale leader on campus. I had been I was editor of the campus newspaper. I was on I was well known, and they knew me all over pretty good. And yet no one wanted to come and interview me. No one wanted to hear my side of the story. No one wanted to hear how everything happened to me.
But you said you were guilty of this crime.
I was guilty, but at least you could hear my side of the story and know how it was for me. That I forced myself on this guy, and I'm sorry that I did. But I had my reasons, and no one would interview me. Now, the media circus that's surrounding Kobe Bryant right now, yes, has to do with the fact that he's famous a little bit. But the overwhelming majority of interest in Kobe Bryant is on account of he's black.
And why would they be more interested in Kobe Bryant's story because he's black and not yours because you're white?
Because black folks have not had a fair shake, and I understand that. And I'd be the first one to admit to all of that. And so a lot of people think that because the black folks haven't had a fair shake, that to make it up to them, let's put them in the newspaper and put them on TV and everything and give them TV shows and all that. And that's fine. I don't mind that. But how come nobody wanted to talk to me when I was accused of rape?
But you were guilty.
But no one knew that at the time, but no one cared at all. And now, every time I see Kobe Bryant, people talking about him. Is he innocent? Is he not? It feels like I'm back on campus in 1985, and it feels like somebody's just taken a shovel and just continues to just hit me and over again with it.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This man, Stephen Bozell, admits that he raped another guy on campus at a school he attended in 1985. He admits this, and yet he did not get any kind of fame. He didn't get any kind of media attention, the same media attention that Kobe Bryant is getting. Is Kobe Bryant getting media attention because he's African-American? That's probably the big question. Is he getting all of this interest because he's black and people are trying to make it up to him? You understand, Mr. Bozell, that Mr. Bryant is accused of a very serious crime. How could you say that the media is trying to make it up to black people by giving a black guy a lot of notoriety when he's accused of rape?
Because they're saying all good stuff about him. They're saying how he didn't do it. They're saying how he's going to lose all of his endorsement money. All the stuff they're saying about him is good stuff. And everything they said about me after I raped that guy, which I'm sorry that I did, and I know it was wrong, but all they said about me was that I was just a pervert, and they kept calling me a queer, which I'm not.
Can I ask you what compelled you? Can I ask you what compelled you to do that to another human being?
I had had a lot to drink, and he represented himself as someone who'd be willing to do that, and I hadn't. All the women were going with the other guys. We wound up with the only two guys left.
So, in other words, you and this other guy were the only two dudes left at the party. There were no other women?
All the women were taken, yeah. So I looked at him, and I said to him, okay, since we're the only two left, we might as well just do each other. And he goes, no way, no way, no way. And I'll tell you something also. I do a series of seminars for the youth counselors and for our youth camps on beer bongs and how they'll make you just lose your mind. And they will make you go crazy.
All right, so you had Jägermeister, you had beer bongs, you were very high. I don't want to get back to your attitude here of that, and you were not interviewed by the media at all.
No, sir.
So you went through the exact same thing that Kobe Bryant is going through, although you admit that you were guilty, and we don't know if Mr. Bryant's guilty.
No, but that doesn't make any difference. Why didn't the media interview me? Why didn't the media come around and talk to me and have me on TV and have me on the newspaper and interview me on the radio and everybody talking about it on the talk show? No one talked about me on the talk show. No one interviewed me on the radio. And I talked to my wife about it, and I said the whole thing. And she said it's because Kobe Bryant's real famous. I said, yeah, but also there's one more thing. He's black. And so they want to talk to him and make sure he's innocent. And I'm a white guy, and they want to make me guilty.
But again, you weren't.
No, that's right. I am guilty, or I was guilty, but still, they didn't know that. And I think racism is really what this is about, Mr. Henry, but I think it's reverse racism. I think it's really racism against white people, because Kobe Bryant gets to have all the good publicity, and I didn't get any when I was going down in school down in Tennessee. And so I think if anybody's going to look at the Kobe Bryant case, they're going to say, oh, look at all the media attention that he's getting on this, and everybody's saying that he maybe didn't do it. And everybody looked at me and said that I was a pervert and a sick, twisted bastard and all of this stuff that I heard and read. People put graffiti on the walls in the dorms, and nobody wanted to interview me on TV.
We're talking with... all right, Stephen, hold on for a second, okay?
Yes, sir.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor in Corona, California. But some 17, 18 years ago, he was on campus at a college where he admits he sexually assaulted another student. He says leading up to the trial, there was no publicity, there were no media interviews, there was no one seemed to be interested from the media. He said that is very different from what's happening with Kobe Bryant, and he believes it's because of racism. He thinks that the media is more interested in Kobe because he's black and not interested in Mr. Bozell and his story because he is white. Do you think that's the case? I believe that Mr. Bozell wasn't interviewed by the media because he's not as famous a guy as Kobe Bryant, but he already acknowledges that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is Kobe Bryant getting a break from the media because he's black? And Mr. Bozell, was he not interviewed by the media because he was white? Or is it because he's not as famous? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm with Stephen Bozell. He is today a president construction contractor in Corona, California. But in 1985, he attended a university in Tennessee where he was convicted of sexually assaulting another student, a male student. His name is being withheld for obvious reasons. Mr. Bozell, you don't mind that? Mr. Bozell, let's see, where is he? You there, sir?
Yes, sir.
That man's name is being withheld. You don't mind that, do you?
No, sir, I do not.
That man, by the way, was, you were convicted of raping him?
Yes, sir.
And I'm given to understand that he was in a wheelchair?
Yes, sir, he was.
Okay, and you say that you had sex with him because you guys were the only two left at the party, and there were...
Well, there were no women left, and I first had suggested to him, I said, you know, there's no women here, so there's no more women to pick up on, so it's just you and me, so we might as well...
You claim you're not gay?
No, sir, I'm not gay.
All right, but anyway, what you're really saying here is that you didn't, during the whole period leading up to your trial for rape, you didn't get the media coverage that Kobe Bryant's getting.
No, I did not, and I think Kobe Bryant is a very interesting basketball player, and my children are big fans of his, but let's face it, he's black, and they always get, black folks always get, you know, better... Everybody's always not, you know, worried about offending him and everything, so they'll run out there and interview him because they're afraid they'll be called racist if they don't interview him.
So you think that it was a reverse discrimination against you?
Because I was white, yeah.
All right, 1-800-44. I just want to be clear. You raped this guy, but you still want to get publicity, but you didn't get any because you're white, and they only give it to black guys.
Yes, sir. I mean, you have to understand, it was 1985, so it was just beginning, but yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Frank, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, I think your mind was raped in 85. If you think that Mr. Bryant is only getting attention because he's black, you are so wrong and pathetic.
No, I didn't say that's the only reason, but that's a big, big, big part of it.
No, it's no part of it. It's because who he is. Kobe Bryant's name is mentioned. He automatically grabs attention of everybody, no matter what he does. Black people every day in this country get charged with rape. You don't see them all over the news. It wouldn't make any difference what color he was.
Well, let me ask you, because how come I didn't get the same media coverage?
Because you were nobody, that's why. Who the hell wanted to interview you? I mean, you were nothing. I mean, you could draw no attention.
That may be true as far as you're concerned, but I was living at that time on campus in Tennessee at this university, and I was very well known
Probably were ashamed of you is what it was, and they probably wanted to hide the fact that one of their alumni would do such a dastardly deed. I mean,
see how you describe it? But Kobe Bryant, you want to give him all kinds of accolades, and he's been charged with the same thing.
Nobody's giving him anything. I mean, he's being charged with a serious crime.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant hasn't been convicted yet, though. You admit you did it.
That's really not, I don't think that's relevant, though, because...
have a problem. You have a deeper problem than you have some type of... You need some type of confirmation for what you've done or something. I don't know what it is, but I think you need to seek help.
Sir, I don't need any help. I'm simply on the radio.
You definitely need help. Anybody who would call and announce that they raped a guy in a wheelchair and wants attention and was mad because he didn't get attention, you don't think you need help? You definitely need help.
Sir, all I'm asking is a logical question. Why didn't I get coverage...
Because you were nobody. You were nobody. How many times do I got to tell you that? You're nobody now and you're nobody then.
Frank,
now you got to face the facts that you're nobody.
Okay, I understand that I'm not famous nationally, but I said in the Murfreesboro Tri-County area, my case is more unusual than Kobe's. I raped a man. You're right, I did, and it's bad. It's very bad. I raped a man.
They were ashamed of it. They were probably ashamed of it.
No, but
if
you think objectively about it, I raped a guy in a wheelchair, and the media should have been all over that. That's pretty big news. You don't think that's big news?
No.
Oh, okay.
No way.
All right, Frank. Frank's point, I think, is pretty well made. I mean, you know, you might be known in the Tri-County area of Murphy, whatever the hell that was, but, Kobe Bryant is not only a national name, he's an international name, and this case has implications positive and negative.
But what I'm trying to say is the fact that I raped a guy in a wheelchair, that makes up for the fact that I'm not Kobe G.D. Bryant and he's in all of his black skin.
Well, all right, Frank, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. And the man makes a point. Why would you want to announce to the world that you raped a man in a wheelchair? You understand?
Because I just want reverse discrimination to go away.
Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell is my guest of Corona, California. I'm Phil Hendry. Here's Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, pal. Let it go, okay? You're not an American Idol. Okay, look at Pete Rose. Pete Rose is the man. Broke the law, look at all the publicity he got. I mean, they even took the man out of the Hall of Fame.
Right, okay, and look at all the...
It has nothing to do with the man's color. You seem to be caught up on something that happened almost 20 years ago. You need to let it go, get on with your life, and quit worrying about racism.
I wouldn't be thinking about it at all had I not turned on the news here in the recent weeks and I seen Kobe Bryant this and Kobe Bryant that. And I said to my wife at the time, I said, look what he's charged with. It's the same thing that happened. Said not the same thing.
I think it's kind of different. I mean, it was a woman. It's not a guilt or nobody has determined his guilt yet. She was not incapacitated.
I don't know what you mean.
I have a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
When Pete Rose is in the news, did you call up a radio show and complain and?
Oh, you're talking to Mr. Bozell?
Whine about not getting publicity when Pete Rose is in the news?
Well, you got to understand something. Pete Rose nobody really was making him sound good. See, Kobe Bryant, they're all kissing his butt, and that's on account of he's black. See, nah. Pete Rose, yeah, you know it's true.
I don't see them kissing Kobe. Well, some of the guys.
I heard you on your show, Mr. Henry, say that Kobe Bryant is getting a lot of breaks from the sports talk hosts. Now, I heard you say that. You can't go back on it now.
All right, you're right. I said that he was getting a break from the sports talk hosts, but I don't hear a lot of people kissing his butt. I don't either.
Well, you guys better start reading the newspaper. And Pete Rose, he got ripped up one side and down the next, man. They stuck it in and broke it off and twisted it.
Well, look at Sammy Sosa. What do you think?
Everybody loves him because he's black.
What do you think would have happened to Mark McGwire if Mark McGwire had a broken a bat that had cork in the middle of it? Mark McGwire would have been the center of attention all across America.
They'd never even want to interview him on account of he's not of the color.
Oh, baloney. They would have interviewed Mark McGwire. The guy's huge. Thank you, Greg, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. This man admits that he raped a man in a wheelchair, and he wonders why he didn't get the same amount of publicity then as Kobe Bryant's getting now. 1-800-449-8686. Is it racism? Is that why Kobe's getting the attention? Because he's black. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm talking with Stephen Bozell, who is a construction contractor, Corona, California. 16 years ago, Mr. Bozell, you admit that you sexually assaulted a man in a wheelchair, then tied him to his wheelchair with electrical cord and pushed him down some stairs. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
For which you served, and then thankfully the guy was not killed. You served 4 years?
Yes, sir. I served 4 years in... 29 months of that, I spent in isolation, lockdown isolation, at a correctional institute in Murfreesboro, and nobody cared, unlike Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, the difference is that he's not yet been convicted of anything. He's not...
Okay, so why are they giving him all the attention? I'm the guy that raped the guy in a wheelchair and tied him up with an electrical cord and threw him down some stairs. Now, we were drunk. He said he wanted to get kinky, and I...
You know, when somebody says they want to get kinky, it doesn't mean you're to tie them up in a wheelchair and push them down some stairs.
I understand that, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Veronica, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. This is what I have to say. Basically, I don't believe that it's reverse racism. The issue is this. Kobe Bryant is famous. Kobe Bryant has money. He's an international. He's a national superstar. People want to know exactly what he's doing. You were in Murfreesboro, a small town. Where it's located on the map, I have no idea. It doesn't take away the fact that you raped the man. You violated. You tied him up with electrical cord and pushed him downstairs. If you're looking for publicity, you need to take out a full front page ad, pay for it yourself, to advise people exactly what you did so they know your face and they know to stay away from you. I'm concerned because you also don't think that you're homosexual.
I'm sorry?
I'm also concerned because you think that you just raped him once. If you were drunk, so you're not a homosexual. You believe
No, ma'am. I enjoy a normal relations with my wife. We have a wonderful marriage. No, the party was over, and he and I were the only ones that were left. It seemed logical to me. It seemed logical.
What seemed logical?
If he's the only one that's left, he's the only one to have sex with.
So if there were no people there, there were a couple of dogs and a goat, would you violate one of them also?
I think, ma'am, the answer to that's obvious. Of course not. And I think, what are you talking about and everything like that?
It could also be obvious that you wouldn't do that to someone who's not willing. You're saying it's obvious that you wouldn't violate an animal. It's obvious you wouldn't violate a human being who's in a wheelchair, who has no defense.
And then tie him up with electrical cord, push him down some stairs.
Ma'am, I had had 12 shots of Jägermeister. And I have been doing beer bongs. Now, I don't know if you've done a beer bong, but...
Well, you're smoking marijuana through a bong pipe loaded with beer, right?
You bet. Well, you say that's just... Oh, I guess you do that every day, huh?
No, sir, I do not. But I'm just... I'm telling to the lady because she, maybe she wasn't familiar. So you did a lot of Jägermeister.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know exactly
right.
What it is.
So you're doing a lot of Jägermeister. You're doing beer bongs. Oh, you're saying this as if we're supposed to forgive you?
No, sir. I paid my debt to society. I'm just saying, why not one person from CNN, not one person from the Fox News Channel, and Kobe Bryant, all I ever hear about is Kobe Bryant this and Kobe Bryant that. And I, last night I was in a diner here, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sizzler Steakhouses.
Yeah.
We were there, and in the booth behind us I heard a guy say, so what do you think about the Kobe Bryant case? And I had to go out to the car, and I buried my face in my hands, and I wept.
You're looking for something. You're looking for attention. You're looking for confirmation. Is that what it is?
It's just that everybody likes him and no one likes me.
You know why we don't like you? Because you raped a man in a wheelchair, tied him up with an electric cord, and pushed him down there. That's why we don't like you. And you admitted to it.
Yeah, but why doesn't Kobe Bryant admit to it?
Kobe Bryant hasn't admitted to the crime. Kobe Bryant has yet to be convicted of any crime. You have been convicted. You've served your time. I seriously think you need to seek help.
God, no kidding, sir.
What?
What? Hey, hi, everybody. My name is Steve Bozell. I raped a guy in a wheelchair, tied him up with electrical cord, and pushed him down some stairs. How come no one's interviewing me?
Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
Yeah! I think it's weird. I think it's bizarre. I think it's way out, baby. Way, way out there. Veronica, thank you for your call.
You are certainly welcome. Thank you.
Was she black?
I don't know.
Because I think a lot has to do with the color of the caller. The color of the caller, the color of the comment. That's what I've always heard. I've always heard that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I just here's Monica on the Phil Hendry Show. Monica, is that the call? Is that the line? Monica, go ahead. Hi, ma'am.
This is Monica.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I called in right after the first gentleman called to make his comment, and I honestly think that this gentleman on the phone is just hungry for publicity. And, you know, on top of that, he has other issues as well. But, sir, I think I get what you're trying to say about, you know, the reverse race thing here, but Kobe Bryant does not apply. Kobe Bryant
Can I ask you a personal question, ma'am?
Yes.
Are you of the African tribe or?
No,
the
I'm not.
You mean is she black?
Yes, sir.
No. No, sir, I'm not.
You sounded a little like you might.
No.
You might be. I'm sorry.
No, sir, I'm not.
Right.
I'm calling you from Florida, and which is part of the South. And here and down in the South, you know what? If you did something like that, people would be ashamed of you, especially in a college town. And that's why you didn't get any publicity. On top of the fact that you are not famous, you know, and the fact that you are even saying it on radio is. It just says that you're publicity hungry.
I was famous
you
on campus.
You want publicity.
I was famous on campus. We had one. Who cares?
Who cares? What campus was that?
It was
Harvard.
I was very, very big on campus, and they knew me around town. We had done so many funny things.
Sir, you were famous at some podunk university or college. Who cares? Nobody cares about that.
See, that's what I mean. My whole life, no one's cared about me.
Are you running around and doing outrageous things so people will care about you? Raping a guy in a wheelchair? Throwing him down some stairs? Pushing him out into traffic? I mean, is that why you're doing it?
No, I'm not doing it. I ain't done anything like that in 18 years. Just when I see Kobe Bryant, I go, that could have been me, except for the skin. It could have been me.
You know what, pal? I think you're a criminal waiting to happen. I don't think you're done. I think you're going to commit another crime, another serious crime, something that could kill another person, maybe. And I think that that's scary.
Do you think I'd get on TV?
What do you mean, do I think you could get on TV? What do I care whether you get on TV or not? I don't know. Why don't you go commit the crime and find out?
I was the editor of the newspaper on campus. I was the one responsible for stuffing the most folks in the phone booth.
I don't care. Fact of the matter is, you geek, it's atrocious what you did.
It's heinous what he did.
Everybody loved me, but now everyone loves Kobe.
Oh. All right, Monica, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Did you hang it up?
Yes, she hung up.
When I suggested we have sex, the man in the wheelchair popped a wheelie and said, giddy up, cowboy.
All right. That's it. Hi. I raped a guy with a champagne bottle. Why aren't I in the news like Kobe? God!
Who thinks this stuff up? I have to know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for a walk down memory lane here on The Phil Henry Show, and this letter today comes to us from Matt Ruby. Matt says, Phil, I've been a backstage member for almost a year and love the show. I just have one request. Can you guys please put the entire segment of, quote, These Nukes Are Hot, end quote, from the May 2002 show with Vernon Dozier in the archives? Keep up the good work. Matt Ruby. Matt, we're going to do that for you, and we would like to suggest at this time, this is parental guidance suggested, okay? So if there's any kids in the room, get them out of the room. If there's any people that are sensitive or easily offended, please just bug off. And here it is. These Nukes Are Hot from May 2002.
The only pussy on the show is that individual watching the bombs go off.
Oh, how do you figure that?
Well, because any man that gets off by watching nuclear bombs go off. You're nuts, man. You need to be in a padded room.
Why is that? I'm looking
and
at the potential of American
Phil Rocks, period. You just need to leave him alone. And Bush, he's not doing anything wrong. Do you realize if people start watching nuclear bombs, that it's going to cause a nuclear winter and the world is going to be over? You realize that, right?
That's an old wives' tale.
That's not a wives' tale. Where'd you go to school, dumbass?
I went to school with special ops. I can tell you something, Lee. The President of the United States is pussified if he can't use the nuclear arsenal that we've got at our disposal to wax those towel wrappers now. Now.
You know what? We don't need nuclear bombs to take care of them. And I think you went to high school at is Ignorant Hill. That's where I think you graduated from.
Let me ask you. Hey, nuclear winter is about as true as Santa Claus, okay? Now, Lee, are you familiar with the American nuclear arsenal?
Am I familiar with nuclear weapons?
The nuclear arsenal of the United States of America, because it is very, very impressive. And I've got a video. Look at this.
I've watched a lot of history on it. I can only hear you with that tape going.
Please turn it down, okay?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lee.
I mean, you've lost your mind. You need to be in a padded room somewhere. All you're going to do is you're going to end up... We push a button. Somebody else is going to push a button. And we're all trying to create peace.
Hold on. What is that noise?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lee.
And we're all trying to create peace. And all you're doing is trying to create hell. I mean, you're going to cause a nuclear winter, the world's going to be over, and frankly, I'm not ready for the world to be over, because I'd like to see my kids go to college and have kids, and I'd like to see my grandkids. The people like you is half the reason why we're screwed up.
What is that noise?
Nothing.
Well, Lee, I couldn't agree with you more. I have four children, and I'd like to see those guys all... have a happy world, and I think, of course, we can have that. I think this is all a lot of panic mongering on the part of a nut job.
I'm a nut job.
Yeah, you're a nut job. You're a nut job, just like the man said. Look at you. Look at you watching your videotapes of bombs.
Both of you guys should understand what our country can do. Look at this. Yeah.
That's a pussy. That's a pussy right there. It's got to watch that kind of crap on tape.
Why is
he getting his rocks off?
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What? Did you hear what the man said?
I want to ask you, why does that make me a pussy? Because I like watching America's might at work.
Because all you're doing, you're sick in the head. If you're a pussy for sitting there watching that, and you're too scared to get out and go over there and do anything about it, so you talk like a big man behind boards of walls, and it's...
Lee, look at this. Look at that, huh?
You know what?
We can't see
I guarantee you, my wife... Oh, that's right. Five foot weighs 107 pounds, could break her foot off in your ass with no problem.
You call me a pussy?
Yeah, you're a pussy.
How do you figure that? I was special ops.
What special ops? Were you in the Army?
I was in a private security firm.
He's special love part of him run down, I ain't going to be nasty on the show. I understand that.
I understand, Lee, and I appreciate your sentiments.
You graduated from dumbass highs. Where you graduated from?
I graduated from dumbass high, is it?
Yeah, you're stupid, man.
Now you're calling people names.
Well, you're calling President Bush a pussy.
Because he is a pussy. Look at this.
Okay, enough. And that's our walk down memory lane with Vernon Dozier. Check it out, America's Nuclear Arsenal, from May 2002. That was months after the confrontation with Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got email today. Do we have the Phil mailbag today? Well, we didn't have a chance to look into it. But we you know, if you've got anything you want to send to us, go right ahead. We, of course, are going to be talking the next hour with Brad Rifkin. This guy is he's interesting. This cat had one of these fitness centers for like 23 years, and he's written a book on the things that he's seen, and he has come to the conclusion most people cannot lose weight. They're wasting their time. Well, a guy built a house out in the middle of the El Dorado wilderness in Colorado, was it? It was a 10 by 20 foot prefab home, and someone stole the house. They didn't rob the guy's house. They just took the whole house. They took the gas tank. They took the propane heat. They took the house. They took everything. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been harping on. What are you guys going for this A-frame jazz for, okay? Just build a house. By the way, advice for the future. The only thing to invest in America is real estate. So I feel good about this guy. He's still got the land. Who needs the house anyway? Still got the land. Who needs the house? Especially some prefab job. Dude, I know it looked good in the TV guide. I knew it looked good when a guy came on and said, "A land available now." I know it looked like it might be something you'd be interested in, but forget it. When you come and you find that your entire home has been stolen, the guy that sold you that house ought to give you a refund. Now, whoever sold you that house should give you the money back, because the one thing that ought to be guaranteed, no one can steal it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they ought to have that written into the contract. Okay, can someone steal? Excuse me? Can someone steal this house? No. Well, then put it in the contract. Why would you? Put it in the contract. Put it in that if it's stolen, I get the money back. Why would I put that? Because I had a house stolen. What? I had the A-frame. Oh, you put your money into that? No wonder it got stolen. You deserve to have it stolen. Don't give me that crap. Put it in there. If the house is stolen, we'll make up for it. You guys that are selling those prefab houses, you guys that sell those propane tanks, all that crap, you better be an ironclad contract. If this house is... houses should not be stolen. This is all part of the larger issue, the territorial imperative. Homes, land. You know, the people need houses. I don't know where you guys are living, but out here, they are falling all over each other. They're crawling all over each other like rats in the bilge of a ship trying to get houses out here. There is what is called a low inventory and a very high demand here in the state of California, and I'm sure in many parts of the country for homes, for a place to live, because the mortgage rates are rock bottom. And if you're not refinancing your house, you're out of your mind. You need a doctor. You need to be put in a soft room if you ain't refinancing that house. I ain't kidding you. Do you realize? My wife got, what did we get? We got like 5 3/4 or something? And then I talked to a guy, big deal, I got 5 1/4. I said, you dirty, yep. Now they're starting to creep up, but in any event, homes, houses, places to live, this is the big thing, and there's nothing better to invest in. You take that stock market and park it. Buy yourself a nice chunk of land, put a nice little log cabin on it. You can come out with the, you know, suspenders and chop some wood in the morning. Just sniff that clean, fresh mountain air, wherever the hell it is you live. Maybe you live in the city. And a man's home is his castle. I don't care what it, except condos. Don't do that. Don't go the condo road. Don't even go there. Maybe a townhouse tops, but buy yourself a house. And but don't buy something that somebody can take off on, take off with in the flatbed of a truck. Nice try. 1-800-449-8686 with advice for living. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.